Du ska vara välkommen att lyssna på den här meditationsskivan som behandlar teknik nummer 61 av de 112 tekniker som finns i Book of Secrets. Den här tekniken berör frågan: vem är jag? Och anknyter till Herakleitos teori om att allting flyter, pantarei, allting är vågor, vågrörelser. Och jag tänkte ett tag att ge meditationstekniken rubriken strängteorin. Men den får nu heta helt enkelt vågen och havet. Tekniken lyder så här. Shiva säger till Parvati: as waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. Översatt: som vågor kommer med vatten och lågor flammar från en eld, så strömmar universum i vågor med oss. På den här CD-skivan kommer nu först en inledning till och ett förord, och sen kommer själva föredraget från den 28 februari 1973 i Woodlands, Bombay. Osho kommer in helt klätt i vitt och går långsamt fram, sätter sig i sin stol, och vi sitter på golvet där, på parkettgolvet i hans stora bibliotek, och lyssnar. Och han börjar föredraget med anknytna till Sri Aurobindo, vars ashram ligger i Pondicherry, Auroville. Han säger: Sri Aurobindo says somewhere that whole life is yoga. And it is so. Alltså, hela livet är yoga. Sri Aurobindo säger någonstans att hela livet är yoga, meditation. Och det är så. Och så inleder föredraget på ungefär 12 minuter. Sen går han över på tekniken. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. Och det är en mycket delikat text. Den är mycket vacker och användbar och ingår i grundkursen vid Fria Akademin. Lyssna noga. Tryck på repeat på något spår. Lyssna på delar av föredraget. Eller lyssna bara på tekniken. Lyssna flera gånger. Lyssna gärna i lurar. Och ha lite tålamod. Lycka till. Och här kommer nu först då en inledning om ramberättelsen kring Book of Secrets. Hur Shiva och Parvati sitter och samtalar. Det är ett kärlekssamtal, och Shiva ger Parvati 112 centreringstekniker. Sen kommer ett litet privat personligt förord. Det är så sällan vi är personliga, men det berättar lite grann om hur jag kom i kontakt 1972 med den här situationen att lyssna på Bhagavan. Håll till godo, njut och se humorn i det hela. Varsågod.
Välkommen till föredraget om de 112 meditationsmetoderna, tantrateknikerna. Tantra betyder teknik, meditationsteknik. Det är en gammal urkund som Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh utgår ifrån och förklarar bakgrunden till. Situationen är den att Devi Parvati, alltså Shivas älskade, frågar Shiva. Shiva sitter i meditation och Parvati frågar: O Shiva, what is your reality? What is this wonderful universe? What constitutes seed? Who centers the universal wheel? What is this life beyond form, pervading forms? How may we enter it fully, above space and time, names and descriptions? Let my doubts be cleared. Översättning ungefär: O Shiva, vad är din verklighet? Vad är det förundransfyllda universumet? Vad utgör fröets väsen? Vem centrerar universums hjul? Vad är det här livet bortom former och som genomtränger former? Hur kan vi gå in i det helt och fullt, bortom rum och tid, namn och beskrivningar? Skingra mina tvivel. Låt mina tvivel klarna. Nu svarar inte Shiva med att försöka beskriva meditationens tillstånd då medvetandets osynliga dörrar öppnats för ett högre medvetande, utan han ger 112 meditationstekniker, helt enkelt. 112 sätt att centrera sig, centrera ett splittrat sinne bortom tankarnas förutfattade meningar. Först kommer ett förord om varför översätta de 112 tantra meditationsteknikerna. Förord av Björn Olof Skolén. Första kontakten skedde tidig morgon i Goa i Indien 1972. På stranden under några palmer nära en träbåt hoppade en klunga människor som besatta och hoade ho, ho, ho för full hals. De mediterar, upplyste Goa Gill, strandcaféets trubadur. Och jag som rest tre vintrar i Indien och gurushoppat från norr till söder, Rishikesh, Dharamsala, Vrindavan, Hardwar, Allahabad, Benares till Pondicherry, och mediterat med buddhister, tibetaner, hinduer och muslimer, hade aldrig sett något liknande. Jo, de har en guru som kallas den välsignade Bhagwan, och det mesta han lär ut är tvärtom, fortsatte Gill. Som jag stod där på strandcaféet och hörde ho-meditatörerna kom jag att tänka på dervischerna och sufi-folket i Samarra, Mosul och Bagdad som jag levt hos. Allt var kanske inte tvärtom, kanske ändå. Den mannen Bhagwan bestämde jag mig på stående fot för att besöka. Det blev ett möte jag aldrig glömmer, med meditationsläger i öknen, föredragsserier på Woodlands i Bombay och privata samtal. Ett möte som utvecklades till en förtjusning som levt med mig i över 25 år. Varför? Är lätt att berätta. Upplevelsen liknar den du kan ha när du stirrar in i en tredimensionell bild och till en början bara ser ett virvar av prickar. Du läser instruktionerna och provar. Håll bilden nära näsan. Fäst blicken mot oändligheten bortom bilden. Och för bilden långsamt ifrån dig. Håll i dig. Plötsligt framträder en värld som du inte upptäckt tidigare, men som hela tiden varit där, med nytt djup. Så är det med Bhagavans ord och instruktionerna till tantrameditationerna. De öppnar ögonen och låter en ny verklighet framträda som du inte upptäckt tidigare, men som hela tiden är här. Instruktionerna finns upptagna på rullband och jag bar hem magnetbanden i ryggsäcken till Sverige lika andaktsfullt som en gång Bodhidharma bar Dhammapada, Buddhas lära, till Kina någon gång på 800-talet. Då nedtecknade på palmblad. 1000 nätter har jag hört banden och 1000 dagar har jag övat teknikerna och min förundran blir bara större. Och då denne Osho lämnade sin kropp den 19 januari 1990 beslöt jag dela med mig av guldäggen, det arv som jag fått. Översättningsarbetet började av de meditationstekniker som jag själv hört ur denne mästares mun. Håll till godo. Ingenting är hemligt längre. Ändå tycks det mesta fördolt. Du måste själv ruva på guldäggen. Ingen annan kan göra det arbetet åt dig. Så må du på ett lekfullt sätt öva varje teknik i månader. Så ofta du minns. Så nu beror allt på dig själv. Och som den store rabbin sa, den som har öron, han hörde.
Discourses by Bhagavan Sri Rajneesh on Vijnan Bhairav Tantra, Series 6, Lecture number 7, Date 28 February 1973, Woodland, Bombay.
Sri Aurobindo says somewhere that whole life is yoga, and it is so. Everything can become a meditation, and unless everything becomes a meditation, meditation has not happened to you. Meditation cannot be a part, a fragment. Either it is, and when it is, you are wholly in it, or it is not. You cannot make a part of your life meditative. That is impossible. And that is what is being tried everywhere. You can become meditative, not a part of you. That is impossible, because meditation is a quality of your being. It is just like breathing. You go on breathing whatsoever you are doing. Irrelevant what you are doing, you go on breathing, walking, sitting, lying, sleeping. The breathing continues. You cannot arrange it in such a way that sometimes you breathe and sometimes you don't breathe. It is a continuum. Meditation is an inner breathing. And when I say inner breathing, I mean it literally. It is not a metaphor. Just as you are breathing air, you can breathe consciousness. And once you start breathing consciousness in and out, you are no more just a physical body. And with that start, beginning of a higher breathing of consciousness, of life itself as it, you enter a different realm, a different dimension. That dimension is metaphysics. Your breathing is physical. Meditation is metaphysical. So you cannot make a part of your life meditative. You cannot meditate in the morning and then forget it. You cannot go to a temple or to a church and meditate there, and as you come out of the temple, you come out of your meditation. That's not possible. And if you try it, you will be trying a false thing. You can enter a church and can come out of it. You cannot enter meditation and come out of it. When you enter, you have entered. Wherever you go now, meditation will be with you. This is one of the basic, primary, elemental facts to be remembered always. Secondly, you can enter meditation from anywhere. Because whole life is in a deep meditation. The hills are meditating. The stars are meditating. The flowers, the trees. The elements are meditating, the very earth is meditating. The whole life is meditating. And you can enter it from anywhere. Anything can become an entrance. This has been used. That's why there are so many techniques. That's why there are so many religions. That's why one religion cannot understand another, because their entrance is different. And sometimes there are religions which are not known even by the name of religion. You will not recognize certain persons as religious, because their entrance is so different. For example, a poet. A poet can enter meditation without going to any teacher, without going to any temple, without in any way being religious, so-called religious. His poetry, his creativity can become an entrance. He can enter through it. Or a potter who is just creating earthen pots can enter meditation just by creating earthen pots. The very craft can become an entry, or an archer can become meditative through his archery, or a gardener, or from anywhere. Whatsoever you can do can become a door. If the quality of awareness changes while doing it, it becomes a technique. So there can be as many techniques as you can imagine. Any act can become a door. So the act, the technique, the way, the method is not primary, but the quality of consciousness that you bring to the act is the basic. Kabir, one of India's greatest mystics, was a beaver, and he remained a beaver even when he attained. He had thousands and thousands of disciples, and they will come and they will request him that now stop your beaving. You don't need. We are here and we will serve you in every way. Kabir would laugh and he will say, this weaving is not just weaving. I am making clothes. That's the outer act. But something goes within me simultaneously that you cannot see. This is my meditation. How a weaver can be a meditator? Through weaving. If the quality of the mind that you bring to weaving is meditative, then the act is relevant. It's not relevant. It is irrelevant. Another mystic was a potter. His name was Gora. He was working on earthen pots, and he continued. And he will dance and he will sing while he was making his pots. While he was making his pots on the wheel, as the pot will center on the wheel, he will also center within himself. You will see only one thing. The wheel was moving and the earthen pot was emerging, and he was centering the earthen pot. You were seeing only one centering. Another centering was happening simultaneously. He was also being centered. While centering the pot, while helping the pot to emerge, he was also emerging in the unseen world of inner consciousness. When the pot was created, that was not the real thing he was working on. He was also creating himself. Any act can become meditative. And once you know how an act becomes meditative, you can transform all your acts into meditation. And then whole life becomes yoga. Walking on the street, or working in the office, or just sitting, not doing anything, idling, anything can become meditation. So, remember, meditation doesn't belong to the act. It belongs to the quality you bring to the act. Now we will enter the techniques. First, as waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. First, try to understand what a wave is. And then you can feel how this consciousness of waves can help you to enter into meditation. You see waves in the ocean. They appear. They are in a sense. And still they are not in a deeper sense. This is the first thing to be understood about a wave. The wave appears. It is there. In a sense. And still it is not there in a deeper sense. In a deeper sense only the ocean is. You cannot have a wave without the ocean. And while even the wave is there, only the ocean is. The wave is just a form, not substance. The ocean is substantial. The wave is just a form. Because of language, many problems are created. Because we say wave, it looks as if wave is something. It will be better if we use not wave, but waving. There is no wave, just waving. Just an activity, not a thing. Just a movement, not a substance. Just a process. Not matter. The matter is the ocean. The wave is just a form. The ocean can be silent. Waves will disappear. But the ocean will be there. The ocean can be silent, or in movement, or in much activity, or in no activity. But you cannot find a silent wave. Wave is activity, not substance. When the activity is there, the wave is there, it is a waving, a movement, a simple formal movement. But when the silence comes, inactivity comes, the wave is no more. The ocean is there. In both the cases, the ocean is the reality. The wave is just a play form. The wave happens and disappears. The ocean remains. Secondly, waves appear as individuals. Each wave has its own personality. Unique. Different from any other. No two waves are similar. Some waves are big, some waves are small. They have their own peculiar characteristics. Each wave has its own character. And of course, each wave is different from the other. One wave may rise, another may die. While one is rising, another is dying. Both cannot be the same, because one is arising, another is dying. Still, the reality behind both is the same. They look different. They look separate. They look individual, but the look is fallacious. Deep down, only one ocean is. And howsoever they look unrelated, they are related. And while one wave is arising and another is dying, you may not see any relation. The relation may not appear. Because how a rising wave can be related to a dying wave? One old man is dying and another child is born. How they are related? If they are related, they will die both together. I will be born together. The child is born and the dead man has died. One wave is dying, another is arising. But the arising wave may be gathering energy from the dying wave. The dying wave may be helping it by its death to arise. The dispersing wave may be the cause of the wave that is arising. Deep down they are related to one ocean. They are not different. They are not unrelated. They are not separate. Their individuality is false and illusory. They are non-individual. Their duality appears, but it is not so. Their non-duality is the truth. Now, I will read this sutra again. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. We are just waves in a cosmic ocean. If you can meditate on it, if you can allow this feeling go deep down within you, if you start feeling your breathing as just a rising of a wave, you breathe in, you breathe out, and the breath that is entering you was someone else's breath just a moment before. And the breath that is leaving you will become someone else's breath the next moment. Breathing is just waving in an ocean of life. You are not separate. Just waves. You are one deep down. We have a togetherness. Individuality is false and illusory. Hence, the ego is the only barrier. Individuality is false, appears, but is not real. The real is the non-individual, the oceanic, the togetherness. That's why every religion is against the egoistic attitude. The person who says there is no God may not be irreligious. But the person who says I am is irreligious. Gautam Buddha was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. Mahavira Vardhaman was an atheist. He didn't believe in any God, but they achieved, they arrived, they realized the totality, the wholeness. If you don't believe in any God, you may not be irreligious, because God is not basic to religion. Non-ego is basic to religion. And even if you believe in a God with an egoist mind, you are irreligious. With a non-egoistic mind, no need to believe in a God. You fall into the divine automatically. With no ego, you cannot cling to the wave. You have to fall to the ocean. With the ego, you go on clinging to the wave. Look at life as an ocean and feel yourself just as a wave. And allow this feeling to enter in you. You can use this technique in many ways. While breathing, feel the ocean is breathing in you. The ocean comes to you, goes out, comes in, goes out. With every breath, feel a wave arising. With every exhalation, feel a wave dying. And between the two, who are you? Just a nothingness. Sunya. A void. With that feeling of the void, you will be transformed. With that feeling of nothingness, all your misery will disappear. Because misery needs a center. And a false center for that. The void is your real center. But with it, there is no misery. You are in a deep ease. Because you are not, so who can be tense? You are bliss-filled. Not that you are blissful, but because you are not, only bliss is. Without you, can you create misery? That's why Buddha never says that in that state, ultimate state, there will be anand, bliss. He never says. He says there will be no misery, that's all. To talk about bliss may mislead you. So Buddha says, don't ask about bliss. Simply try to know how you can be without misery. And that means, how can you be without yourself? What is our problem? The problem is the wave thinks itself separate from the ocean. Then there are problems. How? If a wave thinks itself separate from the ocean, the fear of death immediately will come. The wave is to die. And the wave can see all around dying waves. And you cannot deceive you. For long, the wave is seeing other waves are dying. And the wave knows, even in my arising, death is hidden somewhere. Because those other waves, a moment before, were arising, and now they are falling down, dispersing. So I am to die. If the wave thinks itself separate from the ocean, death is bound to appear sooner or later. The fear of death. But if the wave knows that it is not, and only the ocean is, there is no fear of death. Only a wave can die, not the ocean. I can die, not life. You can die, you will die, but not the cosmos, not the existence. Existence goes on waving. It has waved in you, it will wave in others. And while your wave may be disappearing, just by your dispersal, other waves will arise. And the ocean continues. Once you detach yourself from the wave form and become one and feel one and realize oneness with the ocean, the formless, there is no death for you. Otherwise, the fear of death will create misery. In every pain, in every anguish, in every anxiety, the basic fear is of death. You are afraid, trembling. You may not be conscious, but if you penetrate within, you will find every moment there is a trembling. You are going to die. You may create many securities. You may create a citadel around you, but nothing is going to help. Nothing is going to help. Dust unto dust, you are going to fall down back. Have you ever observed or have you ever meditated? Just walking on the road, dust clings to your shoe. The dust may have been the body of a Napoleon, of an Alexander. Somewhere, Alexander is dust now. And the dust clinging to your shoe may have been the body once of Alexander. The same is going to be the case with you. Now you are here, and the next moment you will not be. The same is going to be the case with me. Sooner or later the dust will go into dust. The wave will disappear. Fear grips. Just imagine yourself dust in somebody's shoe clinging. Or some potter making an earthen part of you, your body. Are your beloved's body moving into a worm or becoming a tree? But this is happening. Everything is a form, and form has to die. Only the formless is eternal. If you cling to the form, if you identify yourself to the form, if you feel yourself as a wave form, you are getting into trouble by yourself. You are the ocean, not the wave. This meditation can help, it can bring a metamorphosis for you. It can become a mutation. But allow it to spread on all of your life. While breathing, think. While eating, think. While walking, think. Think two things. The form is always the wave, and the formless is always the ocean. The formless is deathless. The form is mortal. And it is not that you will die someday. You are dying every day. Ch childhood dies, and the youth is born. Then youthhood dies, and the old age is born. Then the old age dies, and the form disappears. Every moment you are dying into something else is born. Your first birthday is not the only birth. That is simply a beginning of many births. And your death is not the first death. It is only the last. You have been dying. Every moment something is dying and something else is born. A part of you dies, another part is born. Physiologists say that within 7 years, nothing remains in your body. Everything changes. Every cell, if you are going to live for 70 years, for 10 times, your body is renewed again and again. Every 7 years, you have a new body. Not suddenly, every moment, something is changing. You are a wave, that too not substantial. Every moment changing. And a wave cannot be static. A wave has to be changing. A wave has to be constantly in movement. There can be no phenomena of a non-moving wave. Or can it be? A non-moving wave makes no sense. Movement, process. You are a process, a movement. If you get identified with this movement and process, and think yourself confined between birth and death, you will be in misery. You are taking appearance as reality. This is what Shankara calls Maya, illusion. The ocean is the Brahma. The ocean is the truth. So think yourself as a wave, or as a continuum of waves, arising and falling. And just be a witness to this. You cannot do anything. These waves will disappear. That which has appeared will have to disappear. Nothing can be done about it. Every effort is absolutely useless. Only one thing can be done, and that is to be a witness of this wave form. Once you become a witness, suddenly you will become aware of something which is beyond the wave, which transcends the wave, which is in the wave also and out of the wave also, which forms the wave and still goes beyond, is the ocean. As waves come with water and flames with fire, so the universal waves with us. The universal waves with us. You are not, the universal is. And he is waving through you. Feel it. Contemplate over it. Meditate it. Allow it to happen to you in many, many ways. I told you about breathing. A sex desire arises in you. Feel it. Not your desire, not as your desire. Just an ocean waving in you. Just life pulsating. Just life having a wave in you. you meet in a love act, don't think as two waves meeting. Don't think two individuals meeting. Rather think two individuals merging. No more two individuals. Waves have disappeared. Only the ocean has remained. Then the sex act becomes a meditation. Whatsoever happens to you, feel it not as if it is happening to you, but happening to the cosmos. You are just a part of it. Just on the surface, a wave. Leave everything to the universe. Dogen used to say, a Zen master, when he will feel hungry, he will say, it seems the universal feels hungry through me. When he will feel thirsty, he will say, the existence is thirsty within me. This is what this meditation will lead you to. Then everything disperses from your ego and becomes part of the universe. Then whatsoever happens, happens to existence itself. You are no more here. Then there is no sin. Then there is no responsibility. I don't mean that you will become irresponsible. I don't mean that you will become a sinner. Sin will be impossible because sin can happen only around an ego. There will be no responsibility because now you cannot be irresponsible. Only you are, to whom you can be irresponsible. And if now you see someone dying, you will feel you are dying with him, within him. The universe is dying and you are part of it. And you will see someone, some flowers flowering, you will flower with it. The whole universe becomes now you. To be in such a deep affinity and harmony is to be in samadhi. Meditation is the way, and this harmony of oneness, this feeling of oneness with all, is the end, is the goal. Try it. Remember the ocean and forget the wave. And whenever you remember the wave and start behaving as the wave, remember, you are doing something wrong. And you will create misery because of it. There is no God who is punishing you. Whenever you fall a prey to some illusion, you punish yourself. The law, the Dhamma, the Tao is there. If you move in harmony with it, you feel blissful. If you move against it, you feel in misery. There is no one sitting there in the skies to punish you. There is no record of your sins. There is no need. It is just like gravitation. If you walk rightly, the gravitation is a help. You cannot walk without it. If you walk wrongly, you will fall down. You may have a fracture, but no one is punishing you. Just the law, the gravitation, the impersonal gravitation. If you walk wrongly, you fall down and you have a fracture. If you walk rightly, you use gravitation. The energy can be used wrongly or rightly. When you feel as a wave, you are against the universal law. You are against reality. You will create misery for yourself. This is what the law of karma means. No lawgiver. God is not a judge. To be a judge is ugly. And if God was a judge, he must be completely bored or would have gone mad by now. He is not a judge. He is not a controller. He is not a lawgiver. Universe has its own laws. And the basic law is, to be real is to be in bliss. To become unreal is to be in misery. This is what the law of karma means. No lawgiver. God is not a judge. To be a judge is ugly. And if God was a judge, he must be completely bored or would have gone mad by now. He is not a judge. He is not a controller. He is not a lawgiver. Universe has its own laws. And the basic law is, to be real is to be in bliss. To become unreal is to be in misery.
We love you. We know you love us. Everything is just well. We can relax. Let's just enjoy it. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So it's for the men.
Waves are coming in.
the ocean.
Near the ocean.
Waves are coming.
Waves are coming in. Waves are coming in. There is so much magnificence near the ocean. Waves are coming in. Waves are coming in.
Thank you. In my heart you will always exist. Calling me on
Upplysning är människans seger över hennes självförvållade omyndighet. Omyndighet är avsaknaden av förmåga att använda sitt eget förstånd utan någon annans ledning. Självförvållad är denna omyndighet när orsaken inte är brist på förstånd men brist på mod att använda förståndet. Till upplysning krävs inte annat än frihet. Den frihet som innebär att i varje avseende gör offentligt bruk av sitt förnuft. Ty det är varje människas kall att tänka själv. Immanuel Kant, 1783.
Ett meddelande från Fria Akademin.
Denna CD är en budkavel, en vandringsskiva. Du lyssnar 7 gånger. Memorera texten och ge sedan skivan vidare till en vän. Kopiera gärna skivan på CD eller kassett. Behåll ett ex och ge övriga budkavlar vidare till vänner.
Låt skivan vandra. Budkavel kommer, budkavel går.
It depends on you how you look at life. It totally depends on you. You are the creator of your life. It can have tremendous meaning, beauty, joy. But you will have to create it in your heart. And you will have to spread it all over the place. You will have to create something in you. Only then you will find it in existence. Existence echoes you. Center of being. You are living on the periphery, and on the periphery there is always turmoil. Deeper you go, deeper silence prevails, and in those experiences of silence, light, joy, your life starts moving into a different dimension. The errors, the mistakes start disappearing. So don't be worried about the errors and the mistakes and the faults. be concerned about a single thing, a single phenomenon. Put your total energy onto one goal, and that is how to be more conscious, how to be more awakened. If you put your total energy to it, it is going to happen. It is inevitable. It is your birthright. You may not be aware of it. You may not have ever dreamed about it, that you are a Buddha, that nobody can be anything else, that Buddhahood is the very essential core of your being, that it is not something to happen in the future, that it has happened already. It is the very source you come from. It is the source and the goal too. It is from Buddhahood that we move, and it is to Buddhahood that we move. This one word, Buddhahood, contains all. The full circle of life, from Alpha to the Omega. Start sharing whatsoever you have. Share it. Share your beauty. Share your song. Share your life. In sharing, you will be enriched. Love brings color. The gray suddenly becomes a rainbow, explodes into thousand and one colors, and the drab and the dull becomes psychedelic. Love changes the whole climate of your inner being, and with that change, whole existence is changed. Nothing is changed in the outside. But once you are full of love, you have a totally different existence available to you. Zara, looked with love, the world is transformed, transfigured. And the very world becomes divine. Yes. Inside, then there is music. When love has dawned, then miracles happen. Even inside there is music, in sound, a luminous silence. Love is magical. The heart pulsating in love.